We will start out in Psalm 127, and we're going to look at a few verses there, and we're going to continue and perhaps even finish off the series that we have been doing in the month of February about the family. And when we were introducing the year of 2022, when we were introducing this theme, I had talked to you about the way that the Lord was working in my heart in several months coming up in this year. Just some thoughts that he had put on my heart and kind of arranging some messages in my heart that I felt like he would have me to preach. And I had shared with you that in the month of January, we're going to use that as an introductory month to our theme. And then we use the month of February for the purpose of preaching about the family. And we talked about Christ in the family, how important it is to have Christ in our homes. And then we talked about enemies of the family. And then we went on to the church and the family, how important it is for the church and the family to cooperate one with another. And then we talked about the roles that are found in the family. And last Sunday night, we dealt with the roles of the husband. And then this morning, we mean the roles of a man, and then as a husband, and then perhaps as a father as well. Maybe for some of you, it would just be a man. Maybe you're not a husband, maybe you're not a father. But you have that role of a man that God has given you, the leadership role that you have, and then as a husband, and then as a father, and for some of you, a grandfather as well, the role that you have that you're playing there as a man. And then we talked this morning about the role and the importance and what the scripture says as far as the responsibilities of a lady are concerned, and we dealt with ladies, and then of course also along with that would be wives. And then along with that would be mothers, and then perhaps grandmothers. And I guess we would have had some great-grandmothers in here this morning as well. I would assume, Miss Dawn, your mom's a great-grandmother, right? Now, not great-great, right? But just great, okay. And she is a great-grandmother. And she's a great-grandmother. Now, we might have had some others in here as well that were great-grandmothers. So I thought of that this morning as well, the great-grandmothers we had in here. Her mother, by the way, celebrating her birthday this week. And she's going to be turning 96, she told us this morning. And so what a great blessing that is. That's on Friday. And so thanking the Lord for her. But we talked about the role of a woman. We used four words this morning. We had to kind of go quickly through the last one, and I apologize for that. There were several other verses I was going to try to read this morning, but I felt like the Lord would have us to kind of bring it to a close there without reading those passages of Scripture. We talked about how the lady is a helpmeet. She's the completer of her husband. And then we talked about the word submission, how important it is for a lady to live in submission because you love the Lord, so you want to do what he'd have for you to do. And we talked about that this morning. And then we talked about the task that the lady has as we talked about her being her the ministry that she has as well. So the fact that she's a helpmeet, the fact that she's to live in submission, and then the ministry she has as well, the ministry to her Lord, and then to her husband, then to her children, and then to other ladies as well. The Bible talked about that in the book of Titus, and then we use the word example. So helpmeet, and then submission, and then ministry, and then example. And we talked about how ladies are to be examples in the way that they clothe themselves. We talked about how the Bible says that they're to be in modest apparel, and the way that they live as far as an example of keeping things out of their lives that shouldn't be there. Remember we said this morning, our world is in desperate need of godly ladies. It's in desperate need of holy ladies, as the Bible says there in the book of 1 Peter. It uses that term, holy women. We're desperately in our world and in our churches and in our families in need of godly and holy women. So there's a way that a lady is, if she's godly and holy, she would dress, keep herself adorned in modest apparel, and then a way that she would live. She would stay away from those things that are not honoring and glorifying to the Lord. And then there's a passage of Scripture that we did not even get to read this morning that talks about how a lady ought to have a meek and a quiet spirit about her. A meek and a quiet spirit. Again, just another great character trait of a godly lady, to be gentle and to have a quiet spirit. You say, well, what would that mean if a lady was gentle and she had a quiet spirit? Well, it would give a great picture of the fact that she's yielded to God, yielded to what God would have her to do. And then we talked about how that the book of Proverbs, and I know that's a whole entirely different message, certainly not one that would have been able to be preached this morning. But we talked in Proverbs 31 about how that a lady is to be a virtuous woman as well. And from Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 4, where the Bible says that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Let's be virtuous ladies so that we can be a crown to our husband. But then we're going to deal with the final role this evening in the home. I'd like to talk for a few moments about the role of children within the home. The role of children within the home. And all of these different roles and responsibilities that God gives us are all very important. I realize that right now, we're at, some of you that are here that represent families are not at a place where you have children within the home. Again, you may have responsibility with grandchildren from time to time. But there's much that God's Word has to say about children as well. The importance of the role and the responsibility that they would have within the home as well. Remember, we said two different statements to start out the message about men and the message about women. I wanted to say them one more time tonight for the role and the responsibility that children have within a home. We said this, that relationships determine roles. So you find out what your relationship is, and then it'll determine what your role is. So whether your relationship is the man of that home, the husband of that home, the father, or whatever it is within the home, you find out what, you determine what that relationship is, and then it'll be able to determine what your role is. And then your role then would be able to create your responsibility. Whatever your role is in that home, because of the relationship that you have, it helps you to understand what your responsibilities are. You're going to be able to create the responsibilities you have. By the way, according to God's Word now, He's assigned both of those. He's assigned both the role that you have and then the responsibilities that come with it. God's assigned all of that. He has the manual, doesn't He? We're just preaching from the manual. We're just following the manual. So remember what we said this morning. Don't modify. Don't try to go away from God's assignment and God's design. If He's assigned something a certain way or He's designed something a certain way, let's not try to modify from it or go a different direction, but instead follow His manual, follow His guidelines. And so I want us to notice from Psalm 127 here, the role in the family when it comes to the children. And this message really is going to be broken up into two different parts. First of all, I want us to look at children first. And this, I hope, will be an encouragement to all of us. We want to look at what God's Word has to say about children. And then I want, number two, to be able to talk about the role that a child would have in the home according to the Word of God. So, number one, from Psalm 127, I want us to notice that children are a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. Would we agree with that? Children are a gift from God. Aren't you thankful for that, that God has given us the gift of children? When we meet together here at church for services, aren't you thankful that we have children that are a part of the service? Aren't you thankful that we have programs for children here? They're a gift from God. We want to be a blessing to them in many ways. And God has given them to us for a gift to not only the church, but certainly to mom and dad, hasn't He? And so notice what the Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse number 3. We're going to break these verses down for a few moments here. Look at verse number 3. It says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord." That word heritage means nothing more than just saying they are a gift. They are a gift from the Lord. Always looking at children as being a gift that God has given. And then notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 3. "And the fruit of the womb is His reward." Is His reward. We would never look at a child as a curse or a tragedy or an accident or a mistake. Have you ever heard a child say that? "Well, my parents just tell me I'm a mistake. My parents have just told me I'm an accident." We would never look at a child that way, would we? Children are a gift from the Lord. And so when he uses the word reward, at the end of verse number 3, the application for you and I is God is saying they are a blessing. Children are a blessing. We should never look at a child as a burden. They are not a burden. Now, do they require a lot of care? Yes, they require a lot of overseeing, We understand that, especially if you've raised a child. We certainly understand that. My wife and I, of course, at a stage right now where we're understanding that. They require a lot of work. They require a lot of our overseeing of them. But we would never look at them as a burden. They're always to be looked at as a blessing. And that's exactly what he's saying, isn't he? He's saying children are a gift. Children are a blessing. Can I say this? Can we go a step farther and say this? That they are an expression even of God's favor. They're an expression of God's favor. I would be able to look at my four children. You would be able to do the same thing if you say, I have children, whether they would be in your home or whether they would be as adults now. You'd say, I'm looking at them as an expression of God's favor. You might say, well, they don't always live the right way, but they're an expression of God's favor. Well, wait a minute. What about the person that doesn't have a child? What about the father and mother that have been married for a number of years and they've tried to have children? And they're at a place where they've been told, I don't know that you'll ever have any children. They just yearn for one and they're longing for one. What about that particular individual? Would you say that God's favor is not upon that person? No, I'm saying this, that they can still be used of God in a great way to be blessings and to be helps to children that need somebody to come along beside them and be encouragements and be helps. But let's look at children as a gift. Let's look at children as a blessing. Let's look at children as an expression of God's favor. But then go on and look in verse number 4 and see this. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. He uses a unique word there. He refers to them as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Can I say this, when we see that expression found there in verse number 4, may it remind us that just like we would shoot an arrow, that as children are described as arrows in the hands of a mighty man, may we get to the place, especially as parents and even grandparents that are helping with grandchildren again, that you would launch them towards a target. Just like the mighty man would have the arrow in his hand and he's launching that towards a target. May you launch your children, may you launch your grandchildren towards a target, and may that target be Jesus. Let's launch our children towards Jesus as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man. Then notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Hey, he's got his quiver full of these arrows that he is launching towards a target. And he's launching them towards that target of Almighty God, so that they can come to know him as their Savior and live a godly life. He says, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Can I say this, that children are a gift from God? Would you take your Bible and look with me to Genesis chapter number 33. Genesis chapter 33, and just to set up the story, and I don't think it'll take me long to set up this story because I think you're going to know exactly where we're at here in the book of Genesis. This is the story of Jacob when he is reunited with his brother Esau. Remember, he has stolen Esau's birthright. He has stolen his blessing as well. As soon as those two things take place, the Bible tells us that he is advised, you need to get away from your brother. You need to get some distance, some separation. And so he runs to Laban's house, his uncle Laban's house. And he serves him for 7 years, thinking that he is going to have Rachel to be his bride. And then the Bible tells us that he is then married to Leah. And then he works 7 more years for the purpose of getting the bride that he originally desired or wanted. And then he gets Rachel. And then there's a span of more years that Jacob works for his uncle Laban. Then the command, the direction is given by God. You're to go back to where your brother Esau is, and you are to reunite with him. Remember, there's a time in which he's worried about that. Can you imagine why he would be worried? He's stolen his birthright. He's stolen his blessing. And now he's going to come and he's going to reunite with his brother. Imagine after all of these years, 20 probably plus years, that he hasn't seen his brother, that they're now going to be reunited together. He's a little worried. He's a little fearful. And then you remember he even has that wrestling match with God. Remember that? He has the wrestling match with God and he says to God, I won't let you go until you bless me. And then his name is even changed as he has that wrestling match there. And then the Bible tells us that he's coming to the spot in which he's going to be reunited with his brother. And that's where we get to Genesis 33. Notice what the Bible says in Genesis 33 and verse number 1. It says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came. Now, I couldn't imagine. I have a couple brothers. I couldn't imagine, you know, being especially if you were together, obviously, as in your childhood, and you spent many years growing up together, and then all of a sudden being away from each other for this long of a period of time. We already know, because we've read the end of the story, we already know all the changes that have taken place in their lives. I mean, after that many years, all the changes that would have taken place. So you're seeing each other for the first time in quite a few years. Many changes have taken place. And notice that it describes that. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 1 again. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Again, I think still with some fear in his heart, wondering what the reaction is going to be, wondering what's going to happen. And notice what happens in verse number four. And Esau ran to meet him, he says, and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. What a reunion, right? What a reunion. Opposite of what Jacob thought it would be, right? What a reunion as these brothers meet again. And then notice what happens in verse number 5. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? Now again, are you picturing this? The number of years that have passed and now the wives that Jacob has and the number of children that he has as well. His brother Esau is laying his eyes on these children for the first time. I think you would agree with me. They probably didn't have Facebook then, right? You agree with that? Okay. Probably didn't have Facebook, so it's not like we were seeing pictures of the children growing up. So he's laying his eyes on these children for the first time. And he asks, whose are these? Notice the answer that Jacob gives. Notice what he says. Verse number 5, and he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. What is Jacob saying about his children there? He's saying, these children are a gracious gift from God. These children are God's gift to me. That's the way that God looks at children, doesn't he? They are a gift to you and I. But can I say this before I move on to thought number 2 about children? Number 1, we said children are a gift from God. Can I say this last statement? Even though God has gifted them to us, they still belong to him. And I think when we consider it that way, it will help us even perhaps if our children have strayed away. Or perhaps if we've been diligently praying for them, maybe asking for God's best in their life, just to realize, God, you have given them to me for a gift, but really they belong to you. God, they're yours. Thank you for blessing me with those children. But like Hannah said, remember Hannah said, I'm going to give him back to you. And she kept her promise, didn't she? Let us give our children back to the Lord because they belong to him to use for his honor and his glory. Now, we are to be stewards as parents and grandparents to raise them the way that God wants to raise them, but they belong to him, don't they? They are a gift that God has given to us. But then notice number 2 about children. Number 2, children are valued by God. Children are valued by God. Remember when we said this about the husband and the wife and the man and the woman? We asked the question, are they equal? And remember, I told you that has a yes answer and it has a no answer. Remember, we preached that last Sunday night, and then we also talked about it this morning. And remember, one of the things that I said we would say as far as a yes answer was concerned, men and women are equal when it comes to their importance. Now, let's go a step further from that and say that children are equal as well when it comes to their importance. They are important in the eyes of God, aren't they? Children are of great value to God. Would you look at Mark in the New Testament of our Bible, the second gospel? Would you look at Matthew, the first gospel. Excuse me, Matthew chapter number 10. And notice with me, if you would, verse number 13. All right, now you're going to think I'm losing it. I was wanting you to go to Mark. Mark chapter 10. I'm looking in Matthew chapter 10 saying, no, it was Mark chapter 10. I was wrong. Mark chapter 10, and look what the Bible says in verse number 13. Let's break these verses down, just like we did in Psalm 127. Let's notice a few wonderful truths here in Mark chapter number 10 when we start in verse number 13. Notice this, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Number one, in verse number 13, we see this great truth that children must be brought to Jesus. They must be brought to Jesus. In order for him to touch them, in order for him to do something special in their life, they need to be brought to him. Now, that is the role that parents, again, and grandparents perhaps sitting in here tonight, that's the role that we have. We want to bring them to Jesus. We want to introduce them to Jesus. We want to point them, aim them towards that target. That target is Jesus. But let's make sure we are mindful of the fact that even if a child is not growing up in a home where parents or grandparents are pointing them to Jesus or bringing them to Jesus, they still can come to know Christ as their Savior. But certainly we have a great role in our homes, though, don't we? To point them to Jesus, to bring them to Jesus so that He may touch them. He may bless those children. And so notice what the Bible says in verse number 13 again. I want you to notice the end of the verse. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And then notice the end of the verse. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Now our thought behind that would be shame on those disciples, right? For rebuking them, for bringing them to Jesus. Can I say this? Children, these children were brought to Jesus in spite of the opposition. In spite of the fact that the disciples were rebuking them, can you almost picture this? Asking them to keep those children away from Jesus, and they're rebuking those individuals that are bringing these children to Jesus, but yet they bring them to Christ in spite of the opposition. Now, there's something I would like to bring up, I guess just by way of illustration this evening, that would be a perfect application for what we're talking about right now when we talk about children are of great value. This part of the message applies to everyone that's sitting in here tonight. This part of the message, we're talking about children being a gift and they're of great value to God. This is exactly the reason why we have ministries geared towards children here at our church. Can I encourage you to get involved in them? Get involved in them. There are ministries that we have here at our church that are geared towards children. We have a bus ministry that is geared towards children. I understand that that's open to anyone that wants to ride the bus, but we understand that the bus ministry is the main part of those that ride in on the bus. For the many years that we've done it here at our church, it is children that come. Children that may not have a ride to church except for the bus that comes out to get them. I remember, and I've told this story so many times, you've heard me talk about it before, how that I had a man in my church when I was growing up, got me, he encouraged me to get involved in the bus ministry as a small boy, just a small boy. And he encouraged me. He was working on one of the bus routes, and he encouraged me to get in it, and it wasn't long before I realized this is a ministry that is needful. This is a ministry that is of importance. This is a ministry that is a great value to God. So we have a bus ministry. Can I say this? I want to thank our bus workers for their faithfulness to that ministry. I'm thankful that we care about children enough where we have a bus driver that gets here on a Sunday morning and picks up boys and girls for church. I'm thankful that we have bus workers that get on the bus and they have to arrive early before everyone else gets here, of course. And they're getting home. I think the bus pulled in the parking lot today. What time was it? I'm asking my wife. 1:30. It was a little bit later than that. And we're all home. With services dismissed, we're all home. And they're staying afterwards to do a work that God has called them to do. Why? Because we realize how valuable children are. We realize how important it is to get people that don't have a way here under the sound of the gospel so they can hear the preaching of God's word. I'm thankful for our bus workers. I'm thankful for their faithfulness to that ministry. I'm thankful for the man many years ago that guided and steered my heart towards the bus ministry. And I made a decision even as a young person that I wanted to be involved in churches that had a bus ministry so that I could be involved in it and so I could help bring people to church. Why? Because children are of great value to the Lord. I'm thankful for our Sunday school ministry. I'm thankful that we have teachers that are back there in those classes and teaching children every single Sunday morning, teaching children the truth of God's Word, Bible stories that they need to hear, character traits that they need to hear about, God's love for them, the gospel message that they need to hear. I'm thankful that we have ministries in our church that are geared towards children that are valuable in the sight of God. I'm thankful for our Good News Club ministry, that we can go inside of a public school and be able to gather with 15, 20 children in a classroom after a school setting, a school day, and be able to be in that classroom and be able to give out the good news of the gospel. I remember not too long ago, it was several months ago, I had somebody ask me, what are you allowed to do in that club? Well, we're allowed to do anything in that club that we would do inside of a Sunday school class or inside the church building. We sing songs with them, we teach a Bible verse to them, and we teach them the good news of the gospel and have opportunity to see some of them saved, have had opportunity to see some of those children come to our services before for church. And I'm thankful for a ministry like that. You say, why are we so thankful for that? Because children are of great value to God, aren't they? They are important to Him. They're a gift from Him. They're of great value. As a matter of fact, He expresses that. Look at verse 14, if you would. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased. Who was He displeased at? Was He displeased at the children that were coming to visit Him, or was He displeased with the disciples? He's displeased that the disciples are rebuking these people that are asking asking permission for these children to come up. And Jesus says to them, suffer, allow the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Can I say this, number two? We said number one, children need to be brought to the Savior, need to be brought to the Lord. Number two, He welcomes children. He welcomes children. They're of great value to Him, aren't they? He welcomes them. He said, suffer, allow the little children to come unto Me. Matter of fact, if you would look down at verse number 16, the Bible says He even took them up in His arms. He took them up in His arms. And He put His hands upon them. Oh, you talk about a Savior who welcomes children. He welcomes them into His arms. Can I ask this? Do you welcome children into your life? Do you welcome children into our church here? I hope we would always be that way. We would always realize the value of children, how important they are in the sight of God. Let's make sure we're welcoming to children with the children's workers that we have and the bus workers that we have and the teachers that we have as they point them to Jesus. Workers, you are making a difference. You may say, well, they don't even seem like they're listening. I don't even know if they're gaining anything from the teaching. I promise you they are. I promise you you're making a difference in their life. Let's keep at it. Why? Because children are of great value to the Lord. Look at verse number 16. At the very end of the verse, it says this, and blessed them. And blessed them. Children are precious to Jesus, aren't they? He even desired to give a blessing to them. He wanted to bless those children. He touched them. He put His hands on them. He took them up in His arms. Now, can you just picture just that one thought? When Jesus was here on earth, having Him place His arms and His hands on those children and bring them up, perhaps even into His lap, and have His hands on them and blessing those children. They were precious to Him. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Children are of great value to the Lord. So they must get loved, they must get saved, and they must get fed. Let's make sure we're doing all three of those. Let's make sure we're loving children. Let's make sure we're leading them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's make sure that we are feeding them. You say, well, how do I feed them? Well, at home, it's the importance of a family altar. We've talked about that already, so we won't belabor that. We've talked about it already, the importance of spending time with God inside the home. Hey, grandparents, if you ever have your grandchildren over, have a family altar with them. Spend time in the Bible with them. Spend time perhaps singing a song and spending time praying with them. Oh, how valuable it is to feed them. But then that they would learn daily Bible principles as well. What's the greatest way that we can teach them principles from the Bible? The greatest way that we can do it is by living an example of it. They're watching our example, aren't they? So let's live with an example of what the Bible says and the principles of God's Word. And then, what's another way we can feed children? When they're here at church. So with the children that God has blessed us with, that we would be faithful to church. That we would that they would know that we're going to be in God's house. My mom, many times, will use this as an illustration. There were times when I was growing up where my mom had just suffering problems with migraine headaches. And my sister, I know, remembers this. And she tells me this. I don't remember saying this, but she tells me this. She says that you would look at me when I was struggling with one of my migraine headaches. And she said, you knew that I was down and you knew that I wasn't going to be able to go to church. And she said, you would look at me and you would say, Mom, you're not feeling well enough to go to church tonight. But that doesn't mean we're staying home, does it? And she'd say, no. We're going to make sure we get you a ride to church, and we're going to make sure you go to church. And I remember my grandmother sometimes pulling up in that, what was that, an LTD. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The big, huge thing. That big, huge boat. And she pulled up with that white LTD in the parking lot, in the driveway of our house. And my brother and I, we got into those seats. It was almost as if they were, we could have fit like 25 of us in there. Seat was humongous. And we'd drive to church with Grandma. We'd always know that even if Mom was down, we were going to be in God's house. Why? Because we made church a priority. It was so important for us to be there. And we knew as children we were going to be in God's house. That's one of the ways that we're going to feed our children, to make sure they're in the house of God. But then I've got several simple applications tonight to remind children of what their duties are. Children, what their roles are, what their responsibilities are in the home. And we'll turn to these passages very quickly and we'll be done. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible gives the role and responsibility for children. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and notice what it says in verse number 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children are to obey their parents. I want to move, by the way, obedience is doing what we're told, when we're told to do it, and with a right attitude. Brother Tim Hicks he was here for our revival last fall. When we were at the camp, when he was the camp director, he would always say this to the young people. He'd say, now I'm going to ask you to do some things throughout the course of the week. He said, you may not like them all. He said, but I'm asking you to obey. And here's how he'd say it. He'd say, now obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told to do it. And he said, with a smile on your face. Oh, you might not like it, but you got a good attitude about it, right? Doing what you're told, when you're told to do it. So if we're delayed in our obedience, it's disobedience, isn't it? If we're doing it with a rotten attitude, or we're doing not what we're not told to do, it's disobedience. So God says to obey. But then he goes on in verse number 12 to say this, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That word honor has the idea of to value highly, to have a high value for mom and dad. Children are to have that. Could I say this? I truly believe with all of my heart that even as adult children, we are to honor our parents. I don't think that there's an end to this. I'm desiring to see my children obey their parents while they're growing up in our house and have an honor for their parents. But I certainly want that honor to continue even when they're out of the walls of our house. I hope you could say that tonight if your parents are still alive, that you have a great honor for them. You have a high, you place a high value on them. Think about all that they've done to help you. Just the honor that we need to have. But can we look back at the verse and notice what it says? Children are to obey their parents. And then they're to honor their father and mother. Do you know that you can obey and yet not honor? You can obey and not honor. You can obey because it's commanded to you, and you just say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to obey, but yet not have the respect that you need to have. But you know, if we do it the opposite way, the opposite way will always be true. You'll never disobey if you've made a choice to honor. Man, I'm honoring them, so I'm going to choose to obey. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to obey because I honor them. You know, you think about the difference between honor and obedience. Obeying is the action, but honoring is the attitude, isn't it? And I have an attitude of placing high value and respect towards the parents that God has given me. And as a result of that attitude, my actions will be what they should be. So I honor my parents, so therefore I'm going to obey them. My obedience is a result of my honor. Now, I understand a statement that I just made a minute ago. I understand that even when we do have respect, it is possible for us still to disobey. As a matter of fact, we disobey our Savior at times, don't we? We may say we love Him, we honor Him, we respect Him, but certainly a sign of continual disobedience is a sign of a lack of honor. Because it's the attitude that leads to the action. So they're to obey and they're to honor. But then can we look at two last thoughts that I want to give you? Look at the book of Proverbs real quick. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 12. Right before we read this, I want to give you a thought that's found in Ephesians chapter 6. Now remember, Ephesians chapter 6, the passage that we just left, the Bible talks to us about how that children are to obey, children are to honor, and then it says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. We understand the promise that God has given there. You live in obedience, you'll live a life that's well. You'll live a life in obedience. You'll live a life of great influence as well. You'll leave an influence of saying that person knew how to obey. That person knew how to honor. As a matter of fact, I like to use the illustration of Cain and Abel. Abel died first, didn't he? But Abel had the greater influence, didn't he? Abel may not have lived more days than Cain, but he has an influence that's still lasting today, doesn't he? As a matter of fact, what does the Bible say about Abel? It says, he that being dead yet speaketh. He's still speaking. His influence is still going on. So I like to say it this way, that Cain may have outlived Abel in calendar days, but Abel outlived Cain in character. What a great truth for us to remember, the importance of obedience and the importance of honor. But then the very next verse says this, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but it says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what do those two words mean? Well, they have the idea of correction and instruction. So what are parents to do with their children? They are to correct them and they are to instruct them. That's the last two points of my message here tonight. Here's what I want to say. Children, the role and responsibility and duty that you have within the home is this, that you're to respond the right way to correction and you're to respond the right way to instruction. If dad has the role, if mom has the role of instructing you and correcting you, you're to respond the right way to that, right? That's what God's Word teaches us. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 12. It says this, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We could go to the book of Hebrews. We won't for sake of time. If you want to look at it later, it's in chapter 12. I was going to read verse 5 down through verse number 9. Read it later if you want. The Bible talks about, matter of fact, very similar words. It says that God's going to correct the son of whom he loves. Just like our earthly father corrected us, the Bible says. The earthly father corrected us because he loved us. And we are to accept that correction and to respond to that correction the right way. By the way, can I say this? That's an application for children as far as their role and duty and responsibilities in the home, but it's also an application for us as Christians, isn't it, right? When God corrects us, we're to respond the right way. Don't get mad about it, but to respond the way that God would have you to respond. But then we're also, children are also to respond to instruction the right way. Look at a couple verses and we'll be done. Would you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll read two verses here, and then we have three verses we'll read in Proverbs and we'll be done. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, it says this, "And these words which I command this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He's saying this, I'm giving you these instructions, and you're to teach them to your children. So what are the two duties of a father and a mother? Remember, they're to be teachers, so they're to correct and they're to instruct. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the correction and the instruction. So we're to take what we know and we're to pass it on to our children to teach them. But then notice Proverbs chapter 1. And let's notice verse 7 and 7 down through verse number 9. It'll be the last verses we read this evening, and it'll help us to understand how children are to respond the right way to instruction. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Hey, if you're going to have somebody impart wisdom to you, and you're going to have somebody give you instruction, you would only be a foolish person to despise it, right? Look at what it says in verse number 8. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Hey, when mom gives instruction, when dad gives a law, when dad gives a commandment, when he's trying to guide you and teach you the right way, to respond to it the right way, and notice how he finishes in verse number 9. "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." First of all, for children, they need to be willing to be instructed. Can I say that applies to us as Christians, right? We need to be willing to be instructed. We don't know it all, right? Children, when they're growing up, they don't know it all. They might think that. They might think, well, you just don't understand. Well, parents, we've been there, haven't we? So we do understand. We have to be willing to have the instruction imparted to us. And then we've got to be receptive to the truths. Children have to receive it the right way, right? As Christians, we need to receive it the right way. If we're given instruction, to receive it the right way. As you're being taught, to be receptive to what you're being taught. So, to be willing to be instructed, and then to receive it the right way and respond proper to instruction that's given. If God gives that role of a father and a mother to their children, then children are to receive it and respond to it the right way. But oh, what an application it gives to us as children of God as well, right? All of these things that we just talked about, are they not a wonderful application for us as children of God as well? Would you agree with that? We're to obey Him and we're to honor Him. We are to receive His correction the right way and we're to receive His instruction the right way. Let's make sure we apply that to our lives as Christians as well, as children of God, those that are part of the family of God. Let's apply that application to us. We've seen the roles of a man. We've seen the roles of a lady. We've seen the roles of children within a home. We're bringing the month of February to a close. We've tried to challenge you with messages about the family, and I hope that it has instructed you. I hope that it's given you some wisdom. I hope that it's given you some encouragement to have a family, a Christian family that's keeping Christ at the center, doing everything we can to follow the instructions that He has given us in His Word as we are at home and doing what He would have us to do in our Christian families. Father, I pray that You would use this moment where we